And God bless everyone. Good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. Amen. Trust everybody had a good weekend, a good fellowship on Monday or on Sunday night, and amen, a restful Monday. But let's just stand and sing that song, "As the deer panteth for the mount for the water, so my soul longeth after thee." And as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
He is here. Oh. listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. Sing that again. 'Cause he is here. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? He is here. Amen. He is here. Oh, holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be. Just lift your hands and sing it to him again. For he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. Yes, he is here. Oh, holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. For he is here. You can touch him. You same. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we do have just a reminder, our pastor Cammy will be here this Sunday. We'll be having Brother Gabe speaking for us. Amen. We have one service. Amen. With Sunday school, I believe, 9 o'clock, children and adults. Also on this Friday here at 6:30, we'll be having a little Sunday school day for the kids, just for the Sunday school kids here, amen, at 6:30, amen. If you need anything to know about that, ask Brother Bart. Also, we have a testimony here, praise God. I'm glad for testimonies, amen, from Sister Suzanne Ochoa. Says, I see the hand of God moving in situations that I have been praying for a long time, especially with my family that's in a cult there. Says things are happening, and it's only the beginning of God's hand moving. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause for that. Amen. 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 We have two prayer requests here. We have one. Sister Cindy asked for prayer. There is a situation with her brother's kids. She asked that we pray that God would work out that situation and everything would be fine. Amen. So keep that in prayer. Amen. Also from Brother Simon. Brother Bill Sanders, like Sister Karen's husband down there in Lima, the doctors have given up on him. He has cancer in the liver. Just know that's nothing but a spirit. If it ain't his time to go, then the devil can't take him. Amen. We know that God can heal him. I'm going to believe that by faith today. Amen. Amen. Just going to ask Brother David Loberger if he can come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings. I mean, how we just have a need from God tonight. Amen. Say, Lord, I need you. I know you're here. You said if we ask anything, wherever two or three are gathered, be there in the midst. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for coming tonight, Lord, and give us the opportunity to come to worship you,
yes,
and praise
God,
your name,
God,
and lift you up, Lord Jesus, fellow believers. Ask Lord Jesus to help us, Lord, just to put everything aside, just to
yes,
give you the praise and the glory,
yes,
Lord. Ask you to bless Brother Cam, Lord, as he's preparing, Lord, just guide his hands, Jesus.
Yes,
Lord, just
sing that song, Amazing Grace, I Made It Over, amen. How many are going to be with me there singing Amazing Grace, amen. So glad I made it over, amen. Amen. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, I made it over. I once was lost, but now I'm found, I made it over. I'm singing over, hallelujah, over. Oh, over. I once was blind, I once was blind, but now I see, I made it over. I once was bound, but now I'm free, I made it over. Yes, Lord, over, and now I'll be forever at His side. I made it over. I'm singing over, hallelujah, over, oh, over. Oh, now the seven seals He revealed to me. I made it over. Now I see my theophany. I made it over. We're singing over. Hallelujah. Over. We're singing over. Oh. Sing Jesus, 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 Jesus. I made it, glory, over. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I made it, over. We're singing over, over, oh, over. I once was blind. I once was blind, but now I see. I made it over. I once was bound, but now I'm free. I made it over. We're singing over. Hallelujah. Over. We're singing over. One more time. Say His name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We're singing Jesus. Amen. Once you sing that song, He set me free. Amen. How many are free tonight? Amen. How many have been set free? Amen. Amen. And once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. And He broke the bond of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Oh, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. Yes, Lord, He broke the bonds of prison.
this world, self turned me around. Daily I'm working, oh, I'm praying to, and glory to God I'm going through. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. And he broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. And glory to God. One more time, he set me free. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. Oh, he broke the bonds of prison for me. Now I'm glory bound, Jesus to see. And glory to God, he set me free. Amen. Give him a round of applause, saints. Amen. Amen. Why don't you sing that song, We're Marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. How many are marching that way? Amen. Think about it, saints. This time next year, we could be up there marching around Zion. Amen. Amen. Next week, even. Amen. Come, we that love the Lord. How many love the Lord here tonight? Amen. And come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. For oh, we're marching. Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those reduce to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King. May speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys. Think about it. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Sing upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. The hymn a thousand secrets wait before, yes, Lord. Oh, before we reach the heavenly field or walk the golden streets or walk, we're marching to Zion, beautiful. Beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city. Think about it. Let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching, glory. Oh, we're marching through Emmanuel. Amen. And why don't we sing that chorus once again? Why don't you greet your neighbor? Amen. You got to get to know the people you're going to be marching around with. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just greet one another? Amen. Because we're marching to Zion. marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward. City of God. Oh, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Oh, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city. Come with the love of the Lord and come.
Like that, amen. It just had been such a marvelous feeling, and when you get words like that, amen. Amen. We'll just sing that song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, as our pastor would come forth. How many are ready to hear the word of God today, amen? Look forward to what God has to say to us, amen. Amen.
And time is filled with swift transition, and not of earth unmoved can stay. Things eternal, and hold to God's unchanging hand. Why don't you hold to God's unchanging hand? Hold to God's unchanging hand, and build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, now trust in Him who will not leave you. Oh, whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Why don't you hold to God's unchanging? Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Changing hand. Now covet not this world. world's vain riches. Oh, that so rapidly decays. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass. Hallelujah! Oh, now just hold to God's unchanging. Why don't you hold to God's unchanging? We gotta build our hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Think about it, saints. Now when your journey, glory to God, thank you, Lord. If to God you have been tripped, oh, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Why don't you hold, just hold by God's unchanging hand. Unchanging head. Build your hopes on things eternal. To God's unchanging. Coming very soon, saints. Now when our journey, think about it. Oh, let us be true, Lord. If to God we have been true.
Changing and when your journey is completed. Oh, when your journey is completed. Hallelujah. Oh, if to God you have been true. Oh, fair and bright your home in glory. Oh, your enraptured souls will view. Hallelujah, won't you hold to God's unchanging hand? Hallelujah, hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Good to be in the house of God this evening. Amen. Good to see everybody here. Praise God. We're going to jump right into the Word of God this evening. Wanting to do a little bit more design for the church and so forth as far as a little bit more activities for, we're going to start. We did a little youth thing last weekend or whatever weekend that was. It was last weekend. Then by the grace of God, we did, we're going to be doing a children's one this week as well. So we just pray that'll be a blessing to all that are able to participate, and the young and vibrant and those of childlike faith. Amen. And by the grace of God, just let me know. Some parents will be coming this way to drop your children off, or however that works. We would like to make it accessible if there is a desire, and if you'd like to let us know about that, that you'll be able to pray or maybe even fellowship with one another, however you'd like to set that up if it's a little bit of a drive for you. So we just want to make that available to everybody. And like I said, and I know I really enjoyed the little youth meeting we had. And I'm basically at a place now that I think I can tell what's of the Bible and what's not. Amen. A little hidden joke there. But by the grace of God, we want to jump into the Bibles, our Bibles this evening. If you had your word, we'd like you to open up to a few passages of Scripture here. I'd like to go into 2 Corinthians 3. 18, and then after that we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 3:16. So we'll be jumping between 1 and 2 Corinthians this evening. Actually, I was thinking about it just the other day, just while everyone's turning the pages, I was thinking about just really, sometimes when I preach, I just really don't catch what I'm saying a lot of times. And actually, I started thinking about some of the things that were coming forth on Sunday, and actually I started to become really stirred up by what I believe God is showing us, what God is leading us into, because I believe that this is literally bridging us into eternity. And I believe that by the grace of God, some of the things that I know come out, I believe that just God, just in a special way, just letting us know that we're His children. Amen. And I pray, by the grace of God, there's been some testimonies and so forth about some things that people have saw and what God's been doing. We don't lift up any man of any sort or even ourselves, but we do lift up Jesus Christ. And I always believe that it's just an honor to be able to have God show you something. Amen. And by the grace of God, you know, I believe when God shows you the revealed word, I mean, what greater treasure could God give you? Amen. It's like the scripture says, it's kind of like that. You find that jewels and you sell everything that you have and you go get that. Amen. So it seems like we've just come upon this type of an area. And I know we're right sitting at the rapture. We're getting ready for things to get maybe a little bit harder church nominal and as far as in the natural, but by the grace of God, we know that the God that we're serving will raise a standard for the bride. Amen. So don't mean to keep you standing in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. Praise God. We'll be getting in that after a bit, should the Lord allow. 1 Corinthians 3:16. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Amen. Amen. So, by the grace of God, we'll just bow our heads, say a word of prayer. How many believe that God is here tonight? He's not just here, but He's able to answer your humblest cry for your desires tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our most gracious Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you, God, and we reach out to you, God, knowing by faith, God, that, Lord, you are here tonight, God, and Lord, we might not be much, oh God, as far as this world is concerned, Lord, we're not of high status or some great stature, Lord God, but Lord, we're just children of the Most High God, Lord, and God, what the world calls foolish, God, you call great, Lord. And God, we realize that this word that you've revealed, God, it is everything, God. It is, oh God, it is literally like, oh God, the greatest thing, oh God, that this whole world could be given, Lord. The very word of God that changes a life, that draws man to it, God. And God, Lord, people are looking at it blindly and not desiring it, God. But Lord, this evening we have a need, God. We have a hunger, Lord. There's something within us that's craving for this, Lord God. We're desiring, oh God, not to have a faraway God, but a God in the here and now, God. A God that's dwelling with us, God. We pray this evening, God, that you'd certainly move us on into that Shekinah presence, God. Oh God, we yield to you, God, knowing that you and you alone are able to bring us up to this, Lord. God, we have need of thee tonight, God. We just pray, Lord, it's certainly, Lord, speak to us, God. Move us all aside. Move me aside. Move the church aside, Lord. And God, do a great work, God. We are in need of a great work, Lord. We are in need of more, God. We are in need of a greater baptism of the Holy Ghost, God. We are in need, oh God, Lord, not that the baptism of the Holy Ghost could get any greater, God, but our yielding to that God who would fill us, God, would be able to fill every fiber of our being, God. Oh God, so that we would have so much God that we would lose our very own will, God. Amen. And that you would control us, God. We just want to give ourselves wholly to you right now. Being our desire, we bind every contrary spirit in the name of Jesus Christ now, Lord. Oh God, that the word might be freely given to the church, Lord. We just pray you to have your way now in the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. We want to move in our Bibles very quickly to Exodus 25, verse 8. We're going to continue with the thought that we had laid down on Sunday. I figure there's enough confirmation and just seemed like the direction I felt the Lord was leading. I've been entitling this evening's sermon, we'd like to entitle it Dedicated Temples of the Shekinah Glory. Amen. We'll get into this after a bit here and just kind of move right back into the thoughts that we were working with on Sunday. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you. So I'm asking that you just give me a little hand, maybe pull a little bit on the gift by the grace of God, and you're going to get a little Sunday vacation from me for the next couple Sundays here. I'll be here by the grace of God, not this Sunday, the Sunday after. But anyway, I won't be preaching, so you'll get a little vacation from me, and by the grace of God, you'll get freshened up and maybe get me freshened up, and we'll just enjoy ourselves in the house of God. Amen. So anyway, we want to get into this, the dedicated temples of the Shekinah glory, and we understand that in Exodus 25:8, it said, "Let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And just recapping and maybe perhaps just saying things that you've heard so much, but we just desire to lay this thought within you again and just perhaps take in a little bit different of direction and just look at God in just a little bit more of a way that would be, so to say, applicable for our lives. Amen. But in Exodus 25:8, it said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Amen. And realizing that in looking at God, God was a God that desired to dwell with his people. Here he's speaking of Israel, and he said he wanted them to make a house that would be with them that he could dwell in, right? And his desire was not just to be some sort of a far-off God, but his desire was always for fellowship, right? And in that fellowship, he desired to manifest himself to his people, to actually show them his power, to show them who he was. And perhaps when we look at one another, when we see what we are to one another, we're flesh, we're beings, we have an appearance, or so to say, a presence. amen. And you think of what presence is. Presence is the existence of something, right? Because we realize that presence is its existence, but absence is when it's not there. So God, being a God that would like to dwell with His people, He wanted to allow His presence to be with them, okay? Now, that is great because remember, we always talk about here the presence of God, okay? We talk about God's presence, okay? Now, what is that presence? That presence is when God is actually here with you. Now, this is what we desire. We want a God that we can feel. We want a God that we can see. We want a God that we can that can talk to us and we can perceive what He's trying to say to us, okay? So what we're saying is we want a God who is living. That is our greatest desire. A God with flesh on it, right? A God. But notice, you will not see Jesus Christ in flesh today. He will not show Himself in His own flesh. He did that 2,000 years ago. But now He desires to show His flesh in you. Because the whole purpose of all of it was that God, He would take what? He would take His Old Testament shadows, His desire to dwell in tabernacles, and then we see in the New Testament He would come around and He would call you the temple of God. Amen. Now, notice how this works out, because remember, we're talking about the Shekinah glory. Now, what is the Shekinah glory? The Shekinah glory is actually, if we would have a definition for it, it would be the dwelling or settling of the divine presence of God. So notice, if it is settled, it has come down. It's settled, all right? You notice about when you let's say you would, you name it, even if you would bury, when something dies and you bury that, you notice how you always have a clump, but when that thing starts to settle out, that it literally, it comes right back to its form, right? A garden, you'll till it, it'll seem like it's really soft, right? And when it settles back down, it goes down, okay? And that's exactly what the presence of God will do. It'll settle down on you, right? It'll settle down where believers are gathered, right? And that's God's desire, that He might dwell among you, okay? He might allow His presence to be with you. And that's what the Shekinah is. It is the glory of God, what made manifest to man. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me very excited, because that means that there's an actual living God that just is not in some sort of a word form, but He is actually living and desiring to be right here with you. And we know that's the truth. God could be here right now and you don't even recognize it. Hallelujah. For the individuals, they've seen the Shekinah glory up here. You know what they've seen? They've seen God. I didn't necessarily feel something fully controlling me, but I knew something was there. Well, how great is it when God shows you, or shows some of you, and gives you a testimony that the things that you're desiring are actually already there and you don't even recognize it? Oh, hallelujah. It means everything. Now, that's not how I base if God is real. Because how I base God is real is from this book. Because every experience I have, whether it's felt or not, must come back to this word. Remember, and that's why you find that some of these churches that get off into sensations, that sure, they'll have a stigmata and they'll have blood coming from their hands and doing all these other things. And we realize that those things are not expressly written in Scripture. So we have no way to judge that being the Word, because it's not in the Word. Why would Christ make me suffer a natural death when He had already finished the cross? Amen? Right? We know the Catholic Church, He's still hanging on the cross, but He's not hanging on the cross for us no more. He has risen. Hallelujah. He is what? He is alive and forevermore. Amen. So everything you want God to be, He is. Praise God. So notice what the divine presence is of God. It is when God is here. Oh, I hope you think in your heart right now, you say, God, I wish you were here, God. I wish you'd get to such a place that you'd say, God, I expect you to be here. Well, we're pretty quiet about that. What if you had the expectation? Did you have the expectation that I was going to preach tonight? Did you have the expectation that Brother Dave would be doing songs tonight? You knew, I can say this more vague for you if you really want to term it like God. I know I surprise you every once in a while now. But by the grace of God, did you know that there'd be a preacher tonight? Did you know there'd be a song leader tonight? How vague can you make it? There's an expectation that you had builded that there was going to be these things established here tonight. Well, why do you come to the house of God? Do you come to the house of God just to sit around? Or do you come to the house of God because you believe that God is here? Why would you call it the house of God if God isn't there? That would be the house of people. Or the house of assembly or something like that. But it would not be called the house of God. Because if it is called the house of God, God must be there. So did you come to the house of God tonight? Well, if you did, there's a Shekinah glory for you tonight. There's an experience for you tonight. You need more God, there's more God here for you. Why not? It's a house of God. Talk about elementary. Should we start at kindergarten? Should we start at ABCs? Oh, brother, teach us how to get gifts. They don't even know their ABCs. Always believe Christ. Right. Right. Hallelujah. Well, if you believe Christ is here tonight, then what are you going to get from? Come on. Amen. Right. Praise God. All right. Don't settle on me. Don't you settle down on God. You wait till He settles down on you. So notice this evening where we're going with this. Is that we found out in the scripture, it said, know ye not, ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So that actually places the Shekinah glory inside of you. If the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Okay? Now, what was the Spirit of God? It was the Shekinah glory. It could show itself in a cloud. It could show itself in fire. And that was the Shekinah glory of God. He would settle down. Notice even Brother Branham, when he was getting ready to do his line, he said, I'm waiting for him to come. He was waiting for the Shekinah to settle down. There's different anointings. Hallelujah. There's an anointing for you. Hallelujah. So now notice this as we get into this just a little bit. So God must dwell in you. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. You've got to have God inside of you. You have to, what? You have to believe that you receive it. There has to be signs that follow it. There has to be a nature change in you. You don't desire the same things you do. You used to, right? Something happened. Praise God. So now, as we see this, we see in looking at 2 Corinthians 3:18, It says, but we all with open face. Now, why does that say open face? Because the Spirit of God is in plain view. You are beholding in a glass, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord is changing you from glory to glory. Who's being changed? You're changed into the same image as the glory of the Lord. You are being transformed into the Shekinah itself. Now, this is going to become very critical because you have to see what you need. And this is what I love about this message, because it is easily seen, it is easily shown. This Bible, it is clear. This message, it is clear. It is obvious. That's what I love about God, when He doesn't hide nothing. Amen? You say, oh, brother, I want the presence of God here. We'll get it. Well, how do I get the presence of God here tonight? Do what He tells you to do. Well, what's God telling you to do? Is God sitting there telling you He's there? Or is God saying, hey, you're here to get this word? So you start nursing from El Shaddai. Right? You start nursing, saying, God, you're here, God. God, you're going to feed me tonight, God. Everything I want, you can give it, because this is the place your presence is. Now notice this, an unveiling of God. In 1964, it says, now breaking into the veil, through the veil, into His presence, where the Word is, the Word. In there, seeing the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah, the power, the Holy Spirit shining upon His Word, bringing forth the promise, shows you're behind the veil. So what? First, where is the Shekinah? Where the Word is. And where the Word is, that's where God is. Amen. Now notice it said, not the creed. Not the creed. It must come back to the Word. And next, see, it says what? It says the Shekinah glory, the Holy Spirit shining on the Word. So what is the Shekinah? It is the Holy Ghost, but it's the Holy Ghost making the promise live. It is the glory of God being made known. It's God activating the Word in your life. You say, okay, I've got the Holy Ghost. Well, then what? Don't you understand that should activate the promises of God in your life? Activate the promises. Well, okay, well, I want to be a Christian. I'm talking about activating the promises. That is vague. Don't you see why this all is working with faith? Because what is the promise of God to you? You see, we want to say, God, You promised me a rapture. And you sit there and say, I believe that. Say, brother, sister, what's your promise? You say, I'm going to make a rapture. Now, why am I saying that? Because that's about all you want. That's all you recognize as the promise of God in your life. Right? I'd say most of us, if not all of us, would say, okay, yep, it's all about that rapture. Well, wait a minute. What is the rapture? Do you know what the rapture really is? The rapture is activating the promises of God in your life. All that you are and all that you are made to be, activating that in your life. That is the rapture. In that, within that seed, there was promises that God placed within that seed. It was a substance that God laid there. And it what? It is there to manifest. It is there to show God is alive. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you like, I mean, church, you really see what God always tries to tell you? I mean, look at even in the Old Testament. That Syrophoenician woman. That the prophet said, he said, okay, this woman's made me a house on there. I believe it's Elisha. He said, the woman made me a little room on the side of her house. He said, what does she need? And I believe it's Gehazi said, he said, she needs a child. So you know what? Elisha goes to her and says, about the time of life, next spring, you'll bring forth a child. And you read the scripture. She said, well, how's that going to happen? And that's all it said. But the Bible says the next year at that time that she conceived a child. She bare a child, okay? Okay? God come to her. And what? Was releasing the promise of what that seed was. That seed was not to be a barren woman. That seed was not without offspring. That seed was with a promised son. And notice, the promised seed come forth. And the next thing we find is that he's out working with daddy and the boy dies. So you know what that woman does? She says, give me that prophet. Says, go fetch Elisha for me. I'm going. Saddle up my camel, or saddle up my donkey, I'm going to see him. And she goes and sees him and says, you're the one, I didn't ask for this son, you gave it to me. Hallelujah. Don't you understand how simple God is? God gave her the son, and now God gave it to her, she said it was hers. So when the devil stood in the way and tried to take away what God gave her, she went back to the same source of promise and she said, this child's mine. She sends. So Elisha sends Gehazi over there. Can't do nothing. So what? The prophet himself has to go over there. And what? He put his hands upon the child's dead hands. He put his face upon the child's dead face. He laid his body on him. And what? He breathed life in that child. And the son came back to life. Brother, why are you telling me this? Why is this important? Because don't you understand, when it is revealed by God, it is yours. God did not even judge that woman's faith at the beginning. God brought the promise to her and God fulfilled it. Now notice this for mature adults is that literally there was no abstinence. She did make a move to bring forth a child. But notice, she didn't ask for it. She didn't have a perfect settled faith in everything. But God established his word. Why? Don't you understand? What God lays as your promise is yours. You say, God gave me that car. Then you know what? It doesn't matter what looks bad on the car, what happens in the car. Lay your hands on the car and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, this is mine. God gave it to me. Well, wait a minute. Is that too far above God? Well, the problem is you need to release the promises of what you are. Because what? The Shekinah is what activates that word of promise in your life. You say, I want to know where the will of God is. What is the will of God for my life? Well, what's God been telling you? You think God just leaves you on the back burner, never shows you any signs of what you are? Well, God don't show me anything. Okay, He convicts you to pray here. He convicts you to fast. He convicts you to give this or do that. And all you want to be is a preacher? Or all you want to be is a pew warmer? Something strikes you, say, boy, I'd like to have a gift. Where's that coming from? You think the devil wants you to have gifts? You see how simple this is? It's as simple as releasing what you are. And knowing what is coming forth from you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of the unseen. It's there. I feel it. I know it's there. It must be God. Now, we're talking tonight about being dedicated temples of the Shekinah glory. Because if the Ghost dwells in you, that means that you have went beyond the veil. But notice what your prophet said. He said, bringing forth the promise shows you're behind the veil. So what's your proof of the Holy Ghost? Bringing forth the promise. Bringing forth the promised Christ. Making the promise Christ live. I ain't talking about just some filial. I'm talking about some agape love. I'm talking about a God with the fruits of the Spirit. A God with gifts. A God that loves. A God that is there. A God that is trying to what? That trying to further the kingdom of God. What kind of a Holy Ghost would you say you have if that Holy Ghost never cries out for lost souls? It's not the Holy Ghost. Because that's all the Holy Ghost can do. It gave them power to be witnesses. Isn't God good? Because it's so impossible to make a rapture without having the Holy Ghost. Because how can you know what to do? How can you know where to turn? How can you know who you are unless the person comes inside of you? Now, I want to maybe touch us just a little bit tonight. I want us to notice, because you remember what Israel did. Israel had, when it left Egypt, and I went over this a little Sunday, it had the pillar of cloud to lead them by day and a pillar of fire by night. As long as they were journeying, that pillar of fire, that cloud was with them. The Shekinah was their guide. Just like today, the Shekinah is your guide. He didn't give them question marks. He just asked them to follow. Today we have so many question marks, but most of it is because we just don't see God right. You say, well, how do I just make God live in my life? Well, why don't you seek God like you want Him to live in your life? Well, you say, well, remember, if God ever gave a man the Holy Ghost, if God ever gave a He gave a person gifts. He ever gave them the power of God. He is obligated. If any other individual comes to Him on that merit or on that faith, He is obligated to give them the same thing. But what do you think about Paul? God knocked him off the horse with a pillar of fire. Then God took him to a man's house to give him the Holy Ghost. And God is obligated to give you the Holy Ghost the same way. If you can come on the same token. If you can see the same God. I'm trying not to make this hard, because it's not hard. The only thing that's hard is your self-will. Ain't that right? Now notice very quickly with me. The Messiah, 1961, it says in E18, halfway down, said there, then on the inside he has only one gate, one entrance to go into the Shekinah glory, where God can enter into him and take over in the control tower. So wait a minute. If God comes in, he takes over the control tower. What's the control tower? It's your mind. Now notice, and that way is through self-will. One gate, self-will. You want the Shekinah presence of God. You can't have any will. What are you going to do tomorrow? Lord's will. Everybody's quiet on that. Because you know what you want to say? You want to say, what am I going to do tomorrow? Okay, I'm going to work. I'm sleeping in. You know, it's true. Well, who cares about in the morning, because I won't even wake up till the next afternoon. You already got everything figured out. How many of you say, okay, God, what's for tomorrow? Am I going to work tomorrow, God? What am I doing? Well, the boss might fire me. What if that boss fires you? Well, wait a minute. That's crazy talk. No, that's losing your will. My will is not judged by L.R. Babcock that I work for. My will is not determined by you, as yours is not determined by me. The will of God for you and your life can only be established by Him. And the only gate to the Shekinah is losing your will. Makes you want to get rid of your program, doesn't it? I don't need a program, God. I need your program. I'm tired of having my schedule, God. I want your schedule. What's my schedule? I gotta wake up every morning and pray this time. I gotta wake up more and do this and do that. It's your schedule. What's God's schedule? Now, I'd be very surprised if God didn't want you to pray every morning. But I hope we're catching the gist of where we're going with this. Is it's God's desire to reveal His whole plan to you. His plan of what you are, His plan of what you are to be. It is to be unveiled in you. And you are to move from glory to glory. From one level of the Shekinah, and I'm moving to a higher level of the Shekinah. Well, that's what Christ, when Christ came to the adoption, said, this is my son, hear ye him. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. Amen. Glory to glory. Amen. We okay? Amen. Still got some expectation in you? So notice this as we move a little bit with this. I want us to perhaps look at this just a little bit. Because you understand that the first thing you have to do to have this kind of glory is lose all of your will. Now, I'm not going to focus on that tonight, because I've been focusing on that for such a long time that you got to have that figured out by now. It's just, you're just really not wanting to give all of it up. So that's okay. But it's not, but it's okay. But for tonight's service, we want to move a little bit farther with this. Because I want us to move into the fact of veiling God's presence, okay? And I want us to see this a little bit tonight. In Dedication 62, brother, E37, it says, "And when this body had been made a sacrifice, the correct lamb had been sacrificed, there was coming forth then, God came to His own body, which was His bride. And there had been 120 temples that God had created, was ready for dedication." Okay? "That had got all their unbelief beat out of them." So notice what he's saying here. Remember in the Old Testament, it was Solomon to dedicate the temple. First they placed what? They did the sacrifice, and then what? God was pleased and the Shekinah cloud filled the place so they could not even worship. Or they could not even minister. So notice here that now we see in the New Testament, God had 120. And he calls them, what? They dwelt together for 10 days and he calls them ready for dedication. He said, well, how were they ready for dedication? They had all the unbelief beaten out of them. Well, how much unbelief do you got in you? But notice he said that God had created, was ready for dedication. They were ready to be dedicated to God, set apart for God. When they were ready to be set apart, God had created them to be so. Then God, notice, they gathered in the upper room and waited for 10 days for dedicational service. Then, when completely surrendered, God came down again in the Shekinah glory and filled all the house where they are sitting. What did God do? Like the ark dropping into its proper sockets for the message of that day, God dropped back into His proper channel, not into a denomination or into a building made with hands, but into the heart of men. Oh, hallelujah. That was where He wanted His ark or His word at, was in you. Well, how many temples do we have ready to be dedicated tonight? Well, what's a refilling? A rededication. How many would be brave enough to take the challenge and say, I'd like to have a refilling? Oh, praise God. Well, hallelujah. Okay? So you're ready for a dedicational service. Okay? Well, when do you want to be dedicated? When can we do this? Now notice this, he says, he dropped in his place for the last day, which said the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass, in the last days I'll pour out my Shekinah upon all flesh. Notice that? The scripture says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your prophet comes back around, he said, I'll pour out my Shekinah. Why? Because it was a spirit, the Holy Spirit, activating the promises that were hidden in them. It was hidden in them. So God had to bring it. It was already there. All it needed was all of God to come in. I'll pour out my Shekinah upon all flesh. He said He'd give you power. So notice, I want to get into this just a little bit tonight. This is so wonderful to me. In Exodus 34, I want us to see this because, you know, one of the most notable things about Moses was that he was a God prophet. He was an amateur God, a little g. He wasn't God, but he was an amateur God. Okay? And what I find ironic about Moses is that his ministry was so supernaturally tied in with communion. He had a direct line to God. He had the power of God. And he had God, and I hate to say this, but he had God at such a place with him that God was easily accessed. I'm going to say it right so I don't have to say that. But God was literally right there to talk to him in every situation. Every time something happened, the people complained against Moses. God said, "Separate me, Moses. Separate yourself from them. And I'll take care of them." Moses comes up to the Red Sea, says, "God, what do I do?" And God says, "Why cry? Speak. Spread the waters." God comes a little bit farther. The people start complaining. He says, "God, they're hungry." And God comes to them and says, "Okay, I'll give them quail. I'll give them manna." He was a prophet that was wholly given over to the unveiling of the Shekinah. But you know what I like about that? The same Shekinah that Moses followed out of Egypt, Israel was walking right next to that. The same Shekinah that called Israel up to the mount, they refused to go up, but Moses went up. Said, "Moses, you go up for us." They didn't want to go fully into that presence. You say, "This is not interesting." This is everything. Because how bad do you want God? Do you want God to be alive? Or are you satisfied with what you're seeing? Because here's the thing. What was Moses? What really was Moses? Was Moses a prophet? Yes. But what is a prophet? A prophet is someone with a direct line to God. They have an open communion with God. Well, what was talking to Moses? The Shekinah? I love it about it, even in the Jewish encyclopedia. They talk about how literally, they said even the voice of God is the Shekinah presence. So they're bringing it around and they're basically saying that every way God could reveal himself to you was a Shekinah. Well, you're supposed to be moving from glory to glory. Well, what glory are you on? Are you on your last glory, your middle glory, your first glory? Where are you at? And how many glories are there? Glory. Right? Well, glory. I want to see the glory of God. I want to see it manifested here. I want to see a real God. I'm not just saying that. You should be saying that. Well, that should be your expectation. Well, this is the day of the rapture. How am I going to make the rapture? You're going to make the rapture without being under the blood of Jesus Christ in the token. The token is the only way. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So now notice this in Exodus 34, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount." And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto the Mount Sinai, and the Lord, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tables of stone. So here we see God. Remember, Moses, He's seen the children given up to idolatry with a golden calf. And he comes down and he throws the tables, the commandments of God down and destroys them. He got angry. So God says, now come up to me again. I'm going to write them again for you. I'm going to take care of you. It doesn't matter that your unbelief destroyed the word. It doesn't matter that your unbelief, what? It got mad at sin. And in getting mad at sin, you destroyed the word. Well, you say, brother, what are you talking about? Isn't that what always happens? You see somebody else sinning. What do? You get mad about it. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, we're all like Jesus trying to tear up the temple when they're money changing. Because that's our job. And the whole time, hey, if you're led, you're led. You better make sure you're led. Because we like to get mad every time. When we see sin, we just can't help say, oh, well, I don't know why those individuals do that. We see in the church, oh, Pastor Cam. Right? Oh, brother so-and-so. Oh, sister so-and-so. They'll never change. So I don't know why they got to do that. Well, why do you got to say you got to do that? Why are you acting like that? When Moses was a mediator between God and the people. And what did Moses have? Moses had the Shekinah. So if you have the Shekinah, it makes you an ambassador for Christ. That's what your Bible says. It makes you with a ministry of reconciliation. That's why it says you can cover a multitude of sins of your brother. You're called not to pass judgment. You're called to reconcile. Your prayer can reconcile. Your ability to go up and confront a wrong. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So notice here, Moses destroys the word. God's got to come back and say, okay, I'm going to give it to you again. So notice in the 28th verse, if we jump down here in Exodus 34, 28. And it says, he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Now, this is great. Because notice what's going on here. Moses goes and dwells in the presence of God for 40 days. And he was in the presence of God so long that his face started shining. Well, okay. Well, that was Moses. Well, wait a minute. Moses didn't bring the Shekinah glory back down with him. Anybody getting that? That Moses did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the power to confirm God's glory in your life. And here God delivers him the word. He writes the word. And when he comes down, he has the glory of God on him so much his face shines.
Right. Amen. Amen. Glory.
Now, the funny thing about it is that the first time you see when he goes up, the scripture says he had a cloud cover the mount. Right? Exodus 24:15. It said, and the glory of the Lord is upon there. The cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. He was dwelling in the midst of the cloud. Notice 17 verse, it says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses goes up, he sees the cloud. He walks into the cloud. And when the people down there looking at it, they see a pillar of fire. They see a burning fire above, a devouring fire. Now God doesn't just leave it there. He sends them up there again and places them in the same situation. And what? 40 days and 40 nights, he dwells in the presence, and God is there to confirm the word to him. Amen. You notice that God did not say, okay, I know you broke them, but just come up with them best you can. God couldn't trust him for one detail of that word. You can't rewrite this book. God has to write this book. Why do you think that you need the Spirit of God on the tables, fleshy tables of your heart? Because God has to bring forth the word out of you. See what you get? That's the problem when you get a theologian. The theologian, they can bring out a knowledge of it, but they always bring out the wrong interpretation of it because the glory of the Lord is not on them. Right? So notice this. As we just jump a little bit farther with this, as we get ready to close up. He says in Exodus 34:30, says, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of the face shone, and they're afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterwards all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And afterward all the children of in the 33rd verse, it says, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Now, when he was done speaking, he veiled his face. When the word come forth and he showed them the word, he allowed the Shekinah to shine. But when it was over, he put a veil over his face. The 34th verse. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came off. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Praise God. You see how God is? God delivers the word. Now, why would Moses veil his face when he was around the people? But when he went into God, he would unveil his face. Now notice, because what God's desire is that why was his face shining? Because he was in God's presence. So why did he hide his face when he was with the people? It wasn't their relationship. It wasn't their move. They wanted a mediator and allowed a prophet to be a mediator, which is okay. But notice, God said he would dwell amongst his people. But church, we have to get into a place that the Shekinah, remember, where are we at now? Now, we behold the glory of God face to face. My relationship with God is not your relationship with God. You cannot depend upon my relationship with God to get you into a rapture. You have to depend upon your relationship with God. You have to depend upon the word revealed in your life. I'm not talking about some sort of a theological word. I'm talking about the word person of God unveiled in his fullness in you. I'm not fully getting into that, but I do want you just to see a few things very quickly here. Who do you say this is in 64? He says God had called Moses. He didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do till it was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to be going out and be scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go in with the rest of them and go along with brothers. But you see, just like I believe, I forget what prophet it was said. I don't want to do this, in other words, but my whole heart will catch fire. God has spoken and I must deliver it. Whether they liked it or not, liked it, whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever they did, God has spoke in his heart, he must say it. Not to be different, but be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice, hearkening unto the fat of the rams. See? It was in his heart. He must do it. It was his life. He couldn't hold it. There was something, a pulsation, that pushed them. They couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them till he was their voice, their action. Not done. Hallelujah. Give me a church. Whoa, 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 whoa. Give me a prophet. Give me a church so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is, thus saith the Lord, walk in that Shekinah glory. I'll show you a Messiah, anointed one of God, standing upon the earth. He's not talking about a prophet or just a preacher. He's talking about everyone that comes into the Shekinah. That's the identification. Is that everyone in here has a thus saith the Lord. Everyone in here, God is your action. God is your will. Well, you show me that God, and I'll show you a Messiah. You say, oh, I'm a Messiah yet. Okay? You show me that God. You show me that Shekinah. Then you'll show me a Messiah yet. Now notice this last one, why it had to be a shepherd in 64. Said the Shekinah, blank spot, face. Moses was in the presence of the Shekinah on Mount Sinai. It changed his face. When he had come down, he had to put a veil over his face, the shepherd prophet Moses, who Jehovah was in a portion, just a portion. His face, he had the word in his mouth. But notice when the great shepherd was in the presence of the Shekinah, what did it do? It changed his whole countenance. He wasn't just part of God. He was all of God. He was Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Amen. Well, what is the Shekinah? Now notice, Moses stayed in fellowship with that God on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. And his face shone. Now, show me another place outside of Jesus Christ where their face shone like that. You see how this comes down to a communion? How this comes down to, okay, it's me and Jesus now. Wait a minute. You don't think your face can shine? Right? I had those complete strangers tell me they seen auras around me. You know what I thought in my head? How in the world they see that? I'm so backslid. I'm so far away from what I want to be. You know what that makes me think? What if I could stay in a closer fellowship with this God? Now, I'm not saying when I say I'm backslid. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I want more God. I wish I could make this flesh just die. Because if I could make this flesh die, me and God would be in some real good communion now, wouldn't we? But the problem is I have this flesh to overcome. This flesh has its own will. And that will that it desires, it tries to constantly move upon me. So now I'm at a place where God's calling me into the Shekinah, the person of God in action. And here I am at the very darkest moment of Laodicea. Where do what you want, have what you want. It's here, it's easy access, everything you want. Just do it. Don't pay attention to this side. Just pay attention to me. Could you imagine if it was a waste of time for you to worry about your aches and pains? And you say, name of Jesus Christ, I got to pray about this. And you just stay right in that fellowship until God just took it away from you. I'm trying to show you a greater God than what you're serving. I want that God. All that God can be, you can have. He has promised to be your everything in this day. All you got to do is get into that Shekinah. All you have to do is become a dedicated temple. And God will dedicate you when you're ready. He said after 10 days they were ready to be dedicated. Well, how many years is it going to take you? How often do you need a dedication for your temple? Oh, Lord, this temple gets dirty all the time. So, in closing, if you're in with God, He allows there to be the veil. That veil is the oft expression to the world that they see. But in that communion is where you and the Shekinah have met. You and the Shekinah have been what? Have been bonded together in love. You want more God? Show you want more God. I can't give you a magic prescription how to get more God. All I can do is tell you the same thing over and over again. Isn't that awesome? But I'm not going to quit because I need more God myself. I know what the problem is. The problem is there's too much self-will. It ain't division or hatred or lust or those. No, those are all just attributes of your own will. flesh lusteth to envy. You desire pride. You desire all these things. It is your will. It is the will of the flesh to have unbelief. But notice that. You say, okay, when someone looks at you, what should they see? Well, when they saw Moses with the Shekinah unveiled before them, they saw all of God. It was the Word making itself known. I can't fully break that out because I don't fully understand it. But what I do say is this. If you can stay in that presence long enough, He'll give you what you want. If you can stay in faith with that promise long enough, He can give you what you want. Was God here tonight? Boy, I just don't know. Boy, I didn't feel anything. Boy, I'm tired. Boy, God is God. Do you realize how powerful your bond is with God? You could sit here just like this all service long. And if you just had a pulsation of faith at the very end, God would come right down and give you everything you need of. Let's stand. When God, see, you remember even a revival when Brother Brooks come here, and he preached like 2.5 hours. But you know what? When Brother Ben come the first service, he said it would get greater and greater and greater. And when God come back around, it didn't matter that everybody was sitting there half alive like this. God had a promise that He had to fulfill. And God was going to fulfill that promise. God is going to be what you want Him to be. God is going to give you what you need. If you can, what? If you can get the Shekinah in action. I hope this is all right tonight. How many say, God, it is my desire, God, that I have this Shekinah. God, I believe I've got the Holy Ghost, but God, I want a God that shows He's God. Because if the real God is inside of me, the real God should be showing outside of me. I want a God that's so strong in me that that God shows everywhere I go. Not for my glory, but that the glory of God might be made known. That souls could be saved, that people could hear about Him, that lives could be changed, that depression could be changed, that oppression could be destroyed, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Is that your desire? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord, how we love You tonight, God. And Lord, maybe just a little simple sermon, God. But Lord, I prayed, oh God, that certainly, Lord, You would unveil Yourself to this people, God. God, may we, oh God, realize, God, that there's a sacrifice into this Shekinah, Lord. That there is a death that must happen, God. And Lord, that we must lose more of our identity and take on more of Yours. Oh God, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease. Oh God, You must increase in our life. God, You've got to take over these vessels, God. God, You've got to dedicate these vessels, God. And God, we ask forgiveness for our unbelief, God. We ask forgiveness, oh God, for not standing on the Word of God like we're supposed to. For not talking to You like we're supposed to. Not loving You like we're supposed to. God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, if it would be Your supreme desire, which I believe it is, God, would You just woo upon us, God, with that mighty hand tonight, God. Oh God, I have a living God, Lord, and I want you to fulfill the promises, Lord. The promises of the lives of these saints. The promises you've given me. The promises for this church, God. Oh God, we want to see you live, God. Take over, Lord. Take our self-will, Lord. Master it, Lord. And Lord, may you, oh God, have preeminence over all the things we do. God, I just ask God, you'd certainly touch each and every individual here tonight. God, if they need a refilling, God, give them a refilling, Lord. God, it's not based on an emotion, God. But Lord, we know your prophet said, we know the Bible said that Aaron had to have, oh God, bells in the holies of holies. There had to be noise there to praise God. Lord, we have to love you, Lord. Lord, take over these beings, Lord. We give ourselves wholly to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the bride said, amen. Let's sing that song, Into the Chamber, Be Free, Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently as I close the door. Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. If you have any needs, you can come up. Oh, speak to me gently as I close the door. Oh, heavenly lover, let thy presence cover. Shekinah unending is all I long for. Oh, into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Oh, speak to me gently as I.
Desire to honor you, Lord.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship.
Sing that song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, amen. If you need to be dismissed, you can be. How many just want to be more like the Lord? Give more of yourself to Him till every bit of yourself is gone, amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.